Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 15th of January, 2012. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. This week, Andy spoke on Behold Your God, and the readings are Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 to 31. And Andy also mentions a video that we watched during the sermon, and if you'd like to watch it as well, then I'll pop it up over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. So let's go and join the sermon where Karen, who's Tim's wife and was leading the worship, is introducing Andy and praying for him.
Lord, I pray for Andrew this morning that as he brings God's word to us, that you will just anoint him afresh, Lord Jesus. That as he speaks and gives out, your Holy Spirit would be topping him up like a tap, Lord. That he would know your infilling and you're inspiring and you're refreshing, even as he gives out to us this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear and soft hearts to receive your words today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, everyone. Again. Nice and loud. When the road is rough and steep.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
That was pathetic. Geraldine, that was lovely. When the road is rough and steep.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
For he alone has power to keep. We don't know it so well, do we? You don't know that old chorus? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. That's what it says. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, from where that comes. We're just going to read three verses from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, my sermon perhaps was prophetic in nature as we were looking at the book of Amos. If you like, it was the call of God to his people. And you know, I've really appreciated this week the conversations that have flowed out of it, the questions that have been raised. I've really appreciated those comments and conversations. And no doubt we will return to that theme and the themes that came out of it over the next few weeks. But if that was prophetic in its nature, this week I want to speak pastorally. As it were, the call to God of his people. The call to God of his people. Will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40? And verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter, to verse 31. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Now the NIV at this point is very weak. Who's got a King James in front of them? Jane, could you just read verse 9 for us? That verse that I've just read, verse 9.
O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God.
That's so much better. Behold your God. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. I also love that first bit. Zion, get up into the mountains. Fantastic. This is the theme for this morning. Behold your God. Verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them, they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Gosh, we've been able to do that over these last few days. Have you been looking into the heavens? The clarity of the sky. Look to the heavens, he says. I've lost my place now. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? You know, there may be some of us that are feeling that this morning. There may be some of us that feel that our way is hidden from the Lord, whose cause is disregarded by God. There may be some of us who are feeling like that. And he goes on to say, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, King James says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. they will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've hinted at it, but let me ask you a question. What is the main theme? What is the central theme? What is the core of that passage? Anybody identify it? I've really given it away, haven't I, actually, at the beginning? Yeah, it is. The point of that passage is verse 9. It is contained in that very verse. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And this is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Behold your God. Behold him. Verse 10. Behold your God, because he is mighty. Verse 11. Behold your God, because he is gentle, like a shepherd. Verse 12. Behold your God, because he is huge. He measures the seas in his hand and marks off the heavens with a span. The nations are like a drop in the bucket, God says in verse 15. And verse 18 asks the question, with what will you compare me? Verse 22, the heavens and the earth are subject to him. Verse 23, the rulers of the earth are subject to him. Again, verse 25 says, to whom will you compare me? So the Lord says to his people, behold your God. Verse 26, he says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all these. The word of God continues in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you forgotten? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Psalm 121 is helpful to many people. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we come to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Where the writer says, let us run the race with endurance. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. That's how the King James puts it. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Of course, the NIV says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I personally prefer the King James version at that point that says simply, looking to Jesus. And we've produced for you, I hope you got one when you came in, something for your fridges. Something today, to remind you today, and to remind me today, and to remind us during this week. Put it somewhere prominent. That's the idea of this. That this may be a theme for us this year as individuals, and indeed collectively, that we may be a people who look to Jesus in all circumstances of life. I've been very conscious that for some, last year was a difficult year. And I'm also very conscious that already some of us know that 2012, this year, is going to be a year of serious challenges. But most of us have no idea, if not all of us, have no idea what this year is going to hold. And I wondered, what would the Lord say to us at the beginning of this year? And I felt he would want to say to us this morning, look up. Lift up your eyes and look to me. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of faith. But it's not also just about coping with difficult situations. It's also about Christian maturity. This week, on one particular day this week, but it's been a theme in our new home, we have been clearing away years and years of neglect in our garden. Brambles and elder and rhododendron just taking over and hiding, covering such promise, such beauty, such beautiful things like the primroses and so on and so forth. We cannot stand still as followers of Jesus. Just like the parable of the weeds, if we are not actively caring for our spiritual lives, other things will grow in and will cover and take over our lives before we know it. God wants us to grow and flourish as his people. And it is as we daily look to him, as we daily lift up our eyes to him, that we grow in love and faithfulness and holiness. In his little book, Following Jesus, N.T. Wright states, the longer you look at Jesus, the more you will want to serve him in the world. And Francis Frangipani, it's an interesting name, but anyway, there we are. He's a good man. In his new book, which I got for Christmas, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God, says, the more we see the Lord as he is, the more compelled we will be to give him our all. The more we see the Lord as he is, the more compelled we will be to give him our all. Lift up your eyes. Look to the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Not just for the difficulties that come across our lives, not just for the sorrows, not just for the joys, but that we may see him as he is and know him and become like him. Now I want you to do something rather than sit placidly and listen to me. I want you to look in your Bible. So would you get your Bible out if it's one you've brought with you? If it isn't, you'll find some under the pews. Under the seats. If you can't find them under the seats, I think there's some at the back there. But you're going to need your Bible because I want you to talk to the person sitting next to you. Could I have my ear? And what I'd like you to do this morning, just for how long shall I give you? 1 minute, 2 minutes? Well, I'll give you 5 minutes. What I'd like you to do is just have a look at these five readings. And I'd like you, with the person sitting next to you, or two or three of you, or four of you, however it's comfortable, if you want to turn round and join a couple of people behind you, I'd like you to have a look at these passages. I'd like you to select one of those. Number one, two, three, four, or five. The story about the bronze snake lifted up in the wilderness, or the story of Peter walking on the water, the story of the centurion looking at Jesus on the cross, the story of the robber, the criminal, one of the criminals on the cross, or the story of Thomas. Would you just select in your little group, just select one of those passages, and I'd like you to read those verses, and I'd like you to discuss together. But can I ask you just 1 minute, 1 second? I'm so glad you're enthusiastic, it's brilliant. What I'd like you to do in the 5 minutes is I'd like you to read those passages and ask this question. When we see Jesus, we will. And I'd like you to finish off that sentence. Because these are all about lifting up your eyes and looking to Jesus. All right? So I want you to look at those passages and finish that sentence. When we see Jesus, or when we look to Jesus, whatever you prefer, we will. Finish that sentence. Are you ready? Go. And then you're going to feed back. You've had 5 minutes. Is that enough? Yeah. Let's just have a look at them. And I've got a microphone. Would someone be a runner for me? Matt. Sam, would you be a runner for me, mate? Or have you? Would you carry this around? Would you run around for me? Would you mind? You are a good man. You've come looking ready to run around. Thank you. Sam will come round with a microphone. Do you want to come stand up, Sam? Let's look at the first one first in John chapter 3, Numbers. I put Numbers there because you're going to have to obviously look back to the Numbers passage to work out what on earth they were talking about. But first of all, did anybody look at that passage and would be prepared? What are the themes? What is it about? What's it about? What are the themes that come out of it? Could you put up a hand and then Sam will come and rush to you? Would that be okay? Did anybody look at the first one? Yeah? Someone reflect on it? Please, a hand? Who's just going to come and just say something about it? Yeah? June? Okay. Sam, thank you. What's it about? What are the themes? Don't complete the sentence yet, if you don't mind.
No, all right then.
What are the themes?
That.
What's
the theme
it about?
Is that the people were concentrating on their immediate problems. They were whinging, moaning, complaining and griping because they were in a bad place. But they weren't looking at the faithfulness of God and the way that he had previously helped them and would do so again. Okay. And it's basically about the bigger your view of God, the smaller your problems are.
Okay, thank you. Now hold it. Okay, all right, June, thank you. Anybody else read that passage and like to add something to that? Chris, you want to say something? Yeah? Well done. Great.
Well,
preach it, brother.
Well, when they turned to God and listened, and they had the bronze snakes up, they were healed. So,
that's
when
it.
You look up to Jesus, you would be healed, and your troubles will go away.
Well, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Thank you very much. Yeah. In the desert, they were plagued by snakes, and so they made a bronze snake and held it up, and anybody that was bitten by the snake looked to it, and they were healed. And that passage is brought into John chapter 3, which is in a very well-known passage, isn't it? We know John 3:16 very well, for God so loved the world. But this is just before that. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up, well, would someone read it? It's something about eternal life. When I am lifted up, Debbie? She's struggling. Okay, someone just read it out for me.
And
Okay, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and it leads to eternal life.
That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Okay, thank you. So, the idea is there that we look to Jesus. So let's fill in that phrase, let's fill in that sentence. Let's complete that sentence. Someone complete that sentence for me. When we look to Jesus, you almost said it. Okay, well, it's about healing. It's about forgiveness of sins, and it's about eternal life. Okay? So when we look to Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Okay? When we look to Jesus, we are healed. When we look to Jesus, we receive eternal life. Okay, you get the idea? Let's have a look at the second one. Matthew chapter 14. Who looked at it and is prepared to, just very briefly, the themes and the finishing of that sentence. I don't want this to last forever, folks, and it will last forever unless people are forthcoming. So, who looked at it and who's willing to share? Come on. Right at the back. Sam, over to Sandra. Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. This is a well-known story, isn't it? Jesus calls Peter out of the boat and says, Peter says, you know, if it is you, call me and I'll come to you. So Peter walks on the water. Sandra, take up the story from there. What are the themes and how would we conclude that sentence?
Well, Peter took the leap. He took the leap of faith, the step of faith. He had enough belief for that, but then he took his eyes off Jesus and saw everything else around him. And when he saw those, doubt crept in, and then he began to sink. But okay. Jesus caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And that's the answer. Why do we doubt? But we do. We were saying that it's a bit like we've got one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. And Jenny said it's like being doing the splits all the time.
Doing the splits.
Which is not very stable.
Which is very painful.
And very painful, yes. So, yes.
Okay, thank you. So will you finish that sentence off for us? When we look to Jesus, we
need to keep our eyes fixed on him and not doubt.
Okay. We won't sink.
Right.
Okay. When we look to Jesus, we won't sink. You know, we could talk a long time about this sort of stuff. Yeah, but what about the difficulties? What about the things? Sometimes I feel like I'm sinking. When we look to Jesus, we won't sink. When we keep our eyes fixed on him, we won't sink. Okay, getting the idea. Let's look at number three. Matthew chapter 27. This is about the centurion. Anybody want to pick this up? Over here, please, Sam. Thank you.
Well, I've read from Matthew 27:54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of Man."
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. So, a bit oblique, but someone finish that sentence for me. When we look to Jesus, we... I can't hear. We see God. We see who he really is. We see what he has done. Our eyes are opened. Okay? When we look to Jesus, we see God. We see what he's like.
And we are humbled.
Thank you. That was something I picked up too, a theme there. He was humbled. Okay? All right. Anybody else want to add anything to that? Okay. All right. Let's look at the next one. Luke chapter 23. This was the robber on the cross. Someone pick up that one for us. Over here, please, Sam. Thanks very much.
Well, I'm always amazed by the mercy of God. And when I read this, I just think, oh, how wonderful. This man had nothing of Jesus until he was actually on the cross by him. He had no time to spend with him, hardly. He had, his whole life was still there. He wasn't a born-again believer, but at that moment, when he said to Jesus, you know, I want to spend eternity with you, is what he said. I believe in you now, is what he said. And at that moment, he became a born-again Christian. He had the life of God straight on him, the promise of eternal life. I think that's wonderful. I think it's great, great love and the mercy of God.
Thank you.
when we come to that place, we will know what we've all been. We will know all our faults and our failings and our sins and our backslidings and our faithfulness. We'll know it all, and we will look to him and be amazed, absolutely amazed, at his glorious mercy and forgiveness.
Thank you.
And his welcoming to the kingdom of God.
Thank you. So when we look to Jesus, we see mercy, grace, forgiveness, a welcome. Isn't it wonderful? We look to Jesus. Thank you. Anybody want to add to that? Yeah, over here, please. Thank you.
Where it says, don't you fear God? It reminds me that we have an awesome and just God who's also forgiving. So it's the awesomeness of God, how big God is compared to us, but also he's just.
Yes.
And so that's such an important aspect here, that God is judge, but he's just. And then the forgiveness comes out as well. So awesome, just, but forgiving as well.
Yeah. Fantastic.
We look to him.
Thank you very much indeed. Lovely. Okay. And what about this last one, John chapter 20? Anybody look at that? Thomas hadn't been with the disciples when Jesus appeared. Over back there, please, Sam. Can you see? Thank you. Doing a good job, mate. Thank you. Thomas hadn't been there. No, over there, Sam. Right at the back there. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on to Catherine. Over there. Both of them. Thank you. And then, of course, he's there as Jesus appears to him. Catherine.
Well, first of all, the disciples tell Thomas that they've seen Jesus. But he says, unless I see the nail marks myself, I can't believe it. And then a week later, when he's with the disciples, Jesus actually appears and says, you know, stop doubting, look, here I am. And so we'd finish the sentence with, when we hear the Lord and when we see the Lord, we can stop doubting and believe. Mm-hmm. But my 6-year-old keeps saying, why can't God talk to me in a normal voice so I can hear him? Mm-hmm. And I think that just echoes everyone else's sort of frustration.
Yeah.
But it's just that mystery of faith.
Yes.
And not seeing and not hearing, but still believing.
Yes. Yeah. Which is how that passage ends, of course. Blessed are those who don't see.
Not seen and yet believe.
So why am I talking about seeing Jesus when we don't see him? Because, of course, we see with the eyes of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So why am I spending all this time talking about seeing Jesus? Because through the eyes of faith, we do behold our God. And we do look to him. We can see him. So when we look to Jesus, when we perhaps think of his time on the cross, although that's far too smooth and far too polished, when we consider him, we can stop our doubting and believe. Because, of course, it's an empty cross. Simon, can you just wait for the microphone for us? Thanks.
I don't think when you see Jesus, I don't think you'll need to ask for his autograph. You won't need to ask for his autograph. You'll know it's him.
Yes.
Anything like that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, Sam, you can sit down. You did a good job, mate. Well done. I'll take that. Thank you ever so much for your help. Appreciate it. Rod, you were going to actually, you came up, you were reading a different version of the Bible, and just read us your version, Hebrews 12, verse 2.
Yeah, my version of the scripture actually reads, in Hebrews 12, looking away to the initiator and completer of that trust in Jesus. I thought it fit in so well with the whole theme of those five topics, that we look away from what's troubling us and we look away to Jesus. It emphasises the fact that we have to concentrate on him and not concentrate on the problems we have. Yes. And each of these people, in each of these situations, the Israelites, Peter, the centurion, they all looked away from their current situation and they looked away to something which would save them, would redeem them, and would comfort them and support them.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. It is, that's the feeling of that verse, is that it's saying to us, don't focus on the things around you. Peter, don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on the sad things that are going on in the world, both distant and also those that are affecting you and me and indeed those very close people around us. Because if we focus on them, we will begin to doubt. But the word of the Lord is, don't focus on them. That doesn't mean ignore them or pretend it doesn't exist. But in the midst of all that, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because when we look to Jesus, we will find we don't doubt. We find faith, belief, an invitation to believe. It's when we take our eyes off him that we begin to doubt. And it struck me that here we are in Hebrews chapter 12, but the writer of the book of Hebrews had spent the previous 11 chapters building his case. Before he says to the people, look to Jesus. In chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Hebrews, the writer speaks about Jesus as being superior to the angelic beings. In verse 3 he says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by his power. This is Jesus who's being presented to us. In chapter 3 he presents Jesus as being superior to Moses and the Torah. And in Jewish thought there was no one more important than Moses, and there was no thing more important than the Torah. In verse 5, he writes, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. In chapter 4 to 10, Jesus is presented as the great high priest. Would you turn to me, chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7. Jesus presented as the great high priest, verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death who prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, he goes on to say. In chapter 10, Jesus is presented not just as the high priest, but as the perfect and complete sacrifice. Let's read chapter 10, verse 11 to 14. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, when Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And we come to verse 19 of chapter 10, where the writer says, therefore, since this is who Jesus is, draw near to God in faith. In chapter 11, he takes a detour around the great heroes of faith, and then repeats in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, in the light of everything I have told you thus far about Jesus, look to him. Fix your eyes upon him. And the themes that this writer identifies includes endurance. Verse 1, he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Of course, the NIV uses the word perseverance. In verse 3 he says, consider him who endured such opposition. Look to him, think about him who endured opposition from sinful people, so that you will not grow weary or faint-hearted. See, when we look to Jesus, we find encouragement, we find inspiration, we find strength to persevere despite opposition or trials or difficulties. Do you need encouragement in your walk with God today? If so, look up. Lift up your eyes. Look to Jesus. Do you need strength today to go on following him and serving him? Look up. Are you lacking inspiration or motivation? Has your spiritual life become dull and repetitive? Do you need to make a new start with the Lord? Look up. Lift up your eyes. Look to Jesus. Before Christmas, I spoke of our need to rediscover the discipline of contemplation and to spend time contemplating the person and the life of Jesus. Like Peter, we find it too easy to focus on the world around us and get our bearings off that rather than from Jesus himself. In her hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, Charity Bancroft wrote, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, up would I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin." When we look to Jesus, we find grace and mercy. We find forgiveness of sins and an invitation to faith. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we are drawn again into the awe and wonder of who God is and what he has done for us. And we are invited again to submit ourselves and every circumstance to him in humility and worship. Whatever we do, whatever we face this year, be they joys or sorrows, and probably a mixture of the two, may we be people who lift our eyes to the Lord, who fix our eyes on him. We're going to watch a DVD. It's a simple song. A song called Where Joy and Sorrow Meet. And after we've sung this, we've got an opportunity just to respond ourselves to the Lord.
There's a place of quiet still.
That we may see you more clearly, and in seeing you may love you more dearly, and in loving you may follow you more nearly, day by day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his glorious presence over you and give you his peace. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon or watch the video, you can go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.